Thank you, Pastor.
Praise his wonderful name.
Praise God, the Lord.
Glory. We glorify him and we give him thanks for all that he has done for us over the past week. Here we are, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. We set aside where we can come together as God's children to worship him and to glorify him and to give him thanks for all that he has done for us over the past week, and here to bow down and worship him today. Oh, we so thank to the Lord for sparing our lives to see this. We just want you to know that we're going to follow up and go on from where we had started on the first Sunday of this month, talking about Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful name, Jesus. There is power in his name. There is life in his name. And so we're going to be talking about Jesus again today. Jesus is the answer in all the world today. Above him, no other. Jesus is the way. I'm going to say this again, because as we look around us, we see that people are pushing the Son of God aside, and also his Heavenly Father, who is our eternal Father. Praise his wonderful name. We are so thankful. Jesus is the answer in all the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. I'm going to say one more time. I'd like you to continue to run this in your mind throughout the week. Jesus is the answer in all the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Praise his wonderful name. We are so thankful for him because he is the Lamb of God and he is the Savior of all men. And you're going to learn more about what he has done for us today as we go on in our studies. And so we're going to encourage you, friends, to bear with us, get your Bibles out. And as Pastor said, I am not going to take you to all the scriptures, read them, but you can note them and read them for yourself when you get home, because it's important that you read these scriptures. The Word of God tells us that we must study the Word of God. It's important that we can study His Word, that we can share it with others too. Praise God. And so we want you to know that Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I will repeat, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's John 10 and verse 32. We are indeed grateful for the love of God and for his marvelous grace. And his mercies, yes. And so we're going to be studying today from the book of Hebrew. And what a wonderful book it is. Paul, the apostle, will be telling us quite a lot about Jesus and some of the things you might not have known. But then those of you who know it, we're going to refresh your memory today. In Hebrews, we find here Paul writing to the Hebrew Christians who were in danger of turning away from the Christian faith. I make mention of this because in studying the wonderful epistle of Hebrews, I come to realize that the Christians began to become weary. They were a little bit confused, and they wanted to turn back to the doctrine that they had accustomed to. And I realized that also that there was much persecution going on at that time. And if you look across where you have your Bibles in your hands, you'll notice in chapter 11, Paul took time off to refresh our memories of all the servants of God, the children of God, who had gone through much persecution for righteousness' sake. And it's the same thing happening today in this, our 21st century. Many Christians all over the world are suffering for righteousness' sake. They are being persecuted all over.
Yes.
And we are called to pray with them and for them, because they are our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. And so I find that this study here is very important. Paul is concerned. He is concerned, just as we are today, that many are turning away from the faith. Many are turning away from God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit. You will be surprised to know how many people around us today are not acquainted with the name God, or with the Son Jesus, or with the blessed Holy Spirit. I remember once upon a time, you would go to visit homes, and you would see on the wall a picture of Jesus. You would see him probably sitting with the disciples around a table in this picture. And you might go to another home and you see a picture of him laying hands on someone or praying for them. You go to another home and again you see a cross there. But then, friends, I've been thinking about this as I've been reading the scriptures. We don't see where there is any picture of Jesus being flogged by the Roman soldier. But we see him on the cross of Calvary, paying the price for your sin and for my sin. Today, we hardly see pictures like these anymore in homes. And so we want to have these pictures in our mind today after going through this study here. It's very, very important. The brethren from the Hebrew congregation were contemplating going back to their old faith because of the persecution that was coming upon them. Paul showed Jesus is the truth and finished work. Yes, Jesus is the finished work of God.
Yes.
A wonderful work that God has done for mankind through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by grace and by faith and by mercy. Oh, we're so thankful for these things.
Yes.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and listen what the Word of God has to say here. Chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, it says here, as in these times, last days, spoken unto us by his Son. Yes, he is talking to us today, who he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Yes, God and his Son, Christ Jesus, and the blessed Holy Spirit played a tremendous part in establishing what we call the world today.
Yes.
And we are so happy that Jesus Christ plays a very important part in this. Verse 3, who being in brightness of his glory, the glory of God, and the express image of his person, and beholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, listen to this, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Today, if you don't know, I am here to tell you, friends, that Jesus is now at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father, making intercession for us. He is now called the great high priest. Praise his wonderful name. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Hebrews chapter 1. Yes, he is sitting just down at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father, making intercession for us. He is the better sacrifice. Jesus is a better sacrifice than the lamb that was slain in the Old Testament, and the blood was shed for the sins of people. But today, we are rejoicing that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ we have forgiveness of sins. Praise God. And I want you to know this, friends, today. It's important. We find in chapter 2, listen what Paul says here to the believers. In chapter 2 and verse 9, he says here, but we see Jesus. I like that. But we see Jesus. Have you seen him lately, friends? Were you with him this morning in your devotion, in your fellowship with him? Did you see him? Paul says here, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and the honor that he, but the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for you and for me. Think of that. Yes. He suffered, friends, as Jesus. We read earlier on, the first Sunday, that he is the bread of life, he is the living water. Oh, friends, he is the way, the truth, and the life. But here, we are hearing today, and I'll read again, verse 9, but we see Jesus, praise his wonderful name, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Think of that. Crowned with the glory and the honor that he, by the grace of God, I'm so thankful for the grace of God, should taste death for you and for me. Yeah. For all men. Praise God. And so I want you to know today that we are thankful that Jesus, that we read about earlier on, who touched the sick and made them whole, who offered living water and also the way, he also experienced suffering like the many today that are all over the world that are suffering for righteousness' sake. That's exactly what it is here, friends. Jesus, the Lamb of God, suffered so that we can have everlasting life. But then I must go on. The Word of God tells us here also in chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Verse 12. Paul went on to say, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Yes. In departing from the living God. Yes. He is encouraging the brethren to be careful, those who are thinking of turning back. I like this portion of scripture. I'll tell you why. Because we see today many Christians have turned their backs on God to follow after politicians, to follow after the things of the world. Oh, yes. And have turned their backs on God. But today, I want to encourage you, like Paul, encouraging the Hebrew Christians who were faced with persecution and criticisms and all manner of things. Yes, friends, let us remember. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yes. Today, friends, the God that we serve is very much alive. In this country, we used to say, in God we trust. Yes, we have it only on our money now. That's about all we have it. But people are not trusting in God. We need to trust God in all things, friends. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so Paul is encouraging the believers that they must trust God. And I want to encourage you, friends, look to Jesus who suffered for us upon the cross of Calvary. And oh, how we need to know this, friends, that God so loved the world. Oh, that's a verse that I love so much. To know that he loves me so much. And he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. Yes, friend. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. What is that? Exhort one another daily. Call your brother. Call your sister. Call your neighbor. Call your cousin or your aunt, your uncle, your father. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Yes, friends, yes. Not tomorrow. Yes. If the Spirit of God impress upon you to call your brother or your sister today, call them. Talk with them about the goodness of God. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Did you hear what sin is called? The deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful and desperately wicked. Yes, that's what sin is. Taking us away from the love of God, the love of the Christ Jesus, taking us away from the blessed Holy Spirit. That's what sin is doing. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so we find that the enemy of our souls has now raised up people all over the world to turn against the children of God, and they are all persecuted. And this is what Paul was trying to encourage the Hebrew Christians to turn to God, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of who? Of Christ. Praise his wonderful name. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hold on, friends, the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God sent his Son into the world, praise his wonderful name, take upon himself your sin, true suffering, take upon himself your sin and my sin and the sins of the world, and went all the way to Calvary and died, shed his blood there, because by the shedding of blood, friends, that we have life everlasting today through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's hill. Today, harden not your heart, but look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, there I want to move on quickly. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the Word of God tells us here, and as I indicated earlier on, that when you have time, I would encourage you to spend some time and read chapter 11. You will find it very interesting, friends. Many, many men and women of God suffered from the hands of Satan, the hands of wicked men, the hands of wicked rulers persecuted them. And if you read chapter 11, you'll see some of the things that they have gone through. I won't describe them now because I don't want you to become upset. But when you get home, you read about it. Some ugly things they did to the children of God. But I have news for you. Would you believe that's what they are doing with the many that are now being persecuted for righteousness' sake all over the world in different countries? You have evil leaders that are persecuting the children of God because they are determined to walk with Jesus and to stand up for Jesus and be soldiers of the cross. Don't you turn away, friends. Paul is encouraging the Hebrew Christians. Don't you turn away and go back to the old ways. That's what he's saying here. Be careful. And then listen to what he says, going back to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, oh yes, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Yes.
And I underline verse 2. There are things that I underline in verse 1 as well, and I'll go back to that. But listen to what he says here. Looking unto Jesus. That's the person we're talking about.
Yes.
We need to look to Jesus, friends. He is the answer, which I just sang not very or read earlier on for you. Jesus is the answer in all the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Here, the word of God tells us here, and I'll read again, verse 1 of 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, as you and myself, and the Hebrew Christians, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking on to Jesus. Yes. How we need to look to him today. He is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Yes. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. Yes.
Yes.
He paid it all on Calvary's cross. Yes,
yes,
he paid it all. Yes, and you remember, which I will remind you, he then said before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. What is finished?
Yes,
the work that his Heavenly Father had sent him here to earth to do. Yes, friends, and he went around and he did it well. Oh, he projected his light that people were able to see God. He projects himself and offered living water. Yes, he projects the power of God through him because he received the power from his Father and he has passed it on to us. He says, all power is given unto us in heaven and in earth. Yes, friends.
Yes.
Hear the word of God says, looking on to Jesus. Let's look to him today, friends. The leaders of the world today are all confused. They cannot help us. Oh, what confusion we see around us today. What confusion we hear. What confusion is taking place all over the world. Looking unto Jesus who offer love, who offer peace, who offer to those that are hungry, come and he will give us food. Yes, friends. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, all for the joy. Notice that. That was set before him. Endure the cross. Praise God. You know, I always like to admire the ladies wearing their jewelry. On their ears, they have a cross. They call it an earring. Around their necks, and the men too have these around their necks as well. A cross, a chain with a cross around their necks. But then very few cross you see on the ears or around the neck, you see Jesus on it. It's a beautiful bit of jewelry. It's either silver or gold. Yes. Nicely decked. But the one that Jesus died on was not so. It was a wooden cross.
Yes. Yes.
That was made by the Roman soldiers. A wooden cross. Jesus was placed on that cross.
Yes. Yes.
Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How we need to look to him today. Not long from now, we are going to come together as a people. And we're going to turn our eyes upon Jesus as we sit with him by faith to share with each other the bread which represents his body and the blood, which the wine which represents his blood. Let me take you back to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Are you seeing him where you are, dear friends? He's all around us. Yes. He lives within our hearts. What a beautiful song. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And Paul makes sure to write it so clear. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, think of that, that was set before him, endure the cross which speaks of death. Is that the cross on your ears or around your neck is speaking of? The cross that Jesus carried speaks of death. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, and I underline joy, that was set before him, endure, and I underline cross, comma, there, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you imagine him, friends? When he was ascended into heaven after his death, being raised by his Father from the grave, he went up to heaven. He sat beside his heavenly Father, and he became the great high priest, praise his wonderful name, making intercession for you and for myself. And I want you to see Jesus today. Would you look, friends, carefully? If you look, you will see his glory coming from his Father. Praise his name. That's why, friends, he is the image of his Father, Jesus. Because the glory, praise his wonderful name. If you look at Jesus, you see the glory of God. Praise God.
Yes.
Look, that's why the Paul is saying, looking unto Jesus. If you look at him, friends, you'll see hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
You will see the glory of God.
Yes.
Because he's right beside our Heavenly Father at the right hand, making intercession for us today. Praise God. But then, let me take you back to verse 1. What the Word of God says here? Let us lay aside every weight. If you are hoping, friends, to see God, our Heavenly Father, through the glory of his Son, and through the glory of his Son, you're able to see God's glory. Here the Word of God says, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, I don't know how many of you know about horse racing, but let me describe it a little bit for you. Did you know that they put weights on the horses to slow them down and they won't run as fast? Did you know that? Yes. According to the weight of the horse, they put weight to slow him down in the race because he will run ahead of the others. And so they might put 15 pounds, 10 pounds, 5 pounds, depends on the weight of the jockey as well. And so it is, friends. The weight will slow you down from running the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. Let me ask you, what weight are you carrying today? Lay it aside, friends, if you want to see Christ. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Yes, the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God, if we look to the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, who is now our high priest, if we but look to him, friends, oh, our sins will be forgiven. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon you, oh, friends, take upon you the pain, the suffering that Jesus has been through for you to have life. Yes, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run like the horses. Yes, with patience, the race that is set before us. Yes. Today, we're all running a race, friends. But are you lagging behind? As brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Word of God encourages us to pray one for another and encourage each other to continue in the faith. Oh, that's why we pray for the persecuted Christians. They're always asking for us to pray with them that they will have faith to go along each day. Yes, and it's our business, friends, to pray one for another, says Paul the Apostle to the churches. Pray one for another, friends. We are looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that is set before him, endure the cross. Praise God. Jesus said to the disciples, if you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross and follow, friends. Yes, the cross, many of us sometimes, when the problems come around us, or the tests and the trials, we have a way of expressing, you said, my cross is heavier than everybody else's own. No, friends. Each one have a cross to carry. If you're going to follow Jesus, take up your cross today. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are going to be tried for our faith. We are going to be tried in this country. We are praying for others that are in other countries that are suffering, but it's right here in case you don't know. Many of you have a blind eye to what is taking place around you. I want you to wake up today, friends. Just like how Paul was talking to the Hebrew Christians, wake up, friends, and understand that you have to continue running this Christian race. You cannot turn back. Let me read. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It was heavy. Oh, his back. Oh, can you think of it, friends? With the many stripes across his back, he carries a cross, despising the shame. The many that he fed, the many multitudes that followed him, and he brought deliverance to them. Yes, they were mocking him. They were making fun of him. And this is what Paul been trying to tell the Hebrew Christians. Be careful. Don't turn back. Many Christians, if you listen to the news, some of you are not, but if you listen to the news, there are many Christians who are no longer going to church anymore. Oh, I want a church with four walls. Oh, yes, friends, I have news for you. Christ Jesus lives in you because you are the church now. In case you didn't know, Paul the Apostle, into the Corinthian Christians, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of God? Did you know that, friends? And that's why we must be holy, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Christ Jesus is in us, and because of his glory projecting us to the Father, we are able to see the glory of God. If we would only look to Jesus, we will see him, friends, as he is. Praise God. And so, let us set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is that where you are? Or because of sin in your life? Friends, the things that were happening around the Hebrew church, the congregation, we're getting confused. It's happening today. So many believers are turning their backs upon the faith. They forget the price that was paid for them on Calvary's Hill. They forget that there is a joy waiting for you, friends. Welcome into my kingdom. Word of God says, Jesus speaking, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you, in my Father's house are many mansions. Are you longing to see Jesus sitting beside God, our Heavenly Father? By faith, you can see this. If you walk and if you run in righteousness, friends, and if you lay aside the weights that are preventing you from walk the true Christian pathway. Yes, if you put them aside, you'll be able to see Christ. You'll be able to see the Heavenly Father. Because if you see the Son, you see the Father. Because the glory that comes from the Son to the Father and from the Father to the Son, you too can enjoy that glory, because Jesus wants to live in you. But if there is sin in our lives, then friends, it won't work. You need to turn to God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and sit down at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father. Verse 3, 4, consider him that he endures such contradiction of sinners against himself. Are you going through this experience at work? at home, in your community. Let us look to Jesus, friends.
Yes.
Let us look to him.
Hallelujah.
Look to Jesus. Are you seeing him today?
Hallelujah.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonders, his compassion, and his purity. Paul is asking, for consider him that endure such contradiction of sinners, yes, against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Yes.
I'm going to close on this, friends, about the mind of the believers today. The enemy of our souls seek to confuse our minds. Let this mind be in you, says the word of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The mind, so often, friends, when we get into his presence, go astray. We begin to think about the filthy things that we see on the television, the filthy things we read from the books that we are reading instead of reading the Bible, the filthy things we hear from those who we work with in the office or on the wayside or in the buses, wherever we are. Yes, friends, our minds go astray when we get into the presence of God. Let this mind be in you, says the word of God, which is also in Christ Jesus. The enemy plays tricks with our minds, friends. And while we get into his presence to pray, to intercede and to supplicate, what happens? Our minds go astray. And so the word of God says here, friends, tell us, lest ye be weird and faint in your minds. The mind. How about your mind today? Is your mind with us now, or it's at home? Is your mind gone astray with others that are having a fun time just now? Where is your mind? Is your mind flashing back to the things that you read or that you saw last night at the movie? How about your mind, friends? Is it stayed on Jesus? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What kind of weight are you carrying, friends? What kind of weight so often we carry? Oh, it's heavy. And we are so confused. We want to throw in the towel. We don't want this Christian pathway anymore. But friends, oh, for the joy that is set before us. What a joy it will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout for victory. Yes, friends, Jesus, the great high priest, is at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father, making intercession for us just at this time. Yes, let us run the race with patience. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, verse 3 and 5. Pray one for another. It's important, friends. James encouraging the congregation to pray one for another. James 5 and verse 16. But then is that all? Oh, here is Paul again encouraging a young evangelist, Timothy, study to show thyself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Oh, how we need, I cannot forget that night when our sister Barbara tell the congregation, oh, brethren, let us study the word. Let us read the word. Oh, it's important, friends. So often, my wife will come into the room when I'm preparing or studying, and she tell me, do you know the time? When I look up on the clock and see, I says, oh, my, I didn't realize that the time went off like that. When you sit down to study the word of God, as the psalmist says, the word is sweet. It becomes sweet that you don't want to stop reading. You keep reading and reading and reading and don't realize that the time has run off. But then, friends, it's important for us to read. That's why Paul says we have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. How about the weight that so easily beset us? If we are carrying too much weight, the things that we see, the things that we enjoy. Yes. Oh, that young man had continued to tell that Christian sister how beautiful she is. Oh, I like how you dress. I like how you walk. But then, how about him? How is his walk? Is he walking with God? But most times, they attend and they carry on so much that the young women give heed to these men. That's a trick of the enemy. Yes, friends, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. And I want to encourage you, both young men and young women, middle-aged men and women, we see so many lives are being broken up because of the trick of the enemy. Keep your mind and your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Friends, we must stay away from sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 55 through to 57. It's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3 to 5. Yes, we must stay away from sin, which so easily beset us. And lastly, we must run. Run how, friends? Run the race with patience. Isaiah tells us in chapter 40 and verse 41, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not become weary. Today, friends, if we but only keep our hearts and our minds stayed on the great high priest, hallelujah, he is today sitting at the right hand of God, our Heavenly Father, making intercession for you now, brother, or you, sister, that is thinking of turning your backs on God. You, young person, that are being tempted by the others out there to do the wrong, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus today. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I want to encourage those of you, like the congregation, the Hebrew congregation, wavering, friends, what should I do? I am being persecuted at work. I am persecuted at home. Oh, all over. The Christians are being persecuted by the politicians today. Yes, they are making fun of the Christians and making things pretty hard for us. But pray without ceasing, brethren. Pray one for another and wait upon the Lord for each other and renew our strength. Praise his wonderful name. Read and study the word of God, that you can rightly divide the word of truth. There's a lot of nonsense going on outside there, and they, some of them are calling themselves preachers. Yes, friends, we have to be careful of them. If you listen to the news, you hear how many are running away from the pulpit. How many are fooling the believers? Yes. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise his name. With eyes closed and heads bowed, let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us today to look to Jesus. Help us remove the scales from our eyes that we can see you. You said to the blind man, what will you have me to do for you? The answer was, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Anytime you hear a brother or a sister continue to say, I don't see anything wrong in doing this, or I don't see anything wrong in doing that, they need to look to Jesus, friends. They are not seeing very well. Yes, darkness is coming over their eyes. And I want to know today how many. Heavenly Father, breathe upon us as your children. Oh, we come to you. We are bowing at the mercy seat now. And Jesus is there asking our Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us today. Have mercy upon those who have heard. Have mercy, Lord, that they will not turn back, but will continue to run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Praise his wonderful name. Lord, bless, we pray today. Revive us again and fill our hearts with thy love. May our souls be rekindled with fire from above. Oh, that your love would burn within our hearts, we pray, and that we would confess our sins, because you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, only you alone know about the secret things. You know about them. You see all things. You know all things. You know our minds. You know our hearts. And so, Father, we're asking of you to help us today to walk with you, to run with you, to lay aside the sins which set us from running and walking with you. Have mercy upon us, we pray today, as a church. Oh, have mercy, we pray, upon each and every one all over the world today. We pray for the persecuted Christians all over the world. We pray for those in this country too. Oh, many Christians are being persecuted at this time. And as a church, Lord, you encourage us to pray one for another. We pray that you would move upon the hearts of each and every one today. Oh, be merciful, we pray. And Lord, if there's any in our midst today that know you not as Lord and Savior, we're asking of you, oh God, help them to look to you. Look, Lord, as we lift you up, that they will see you, the light of the world, which is Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. I love that name. We've been talking about the name in the Gospels, that name Jesus. We are talking about that name Jesus in the epistles to the believers in the church. Let us embrace that name today, the name Jesus. Let us thank him for what he has done for us. Oh God, sanctify us, we pray, through your word. Sanctify us through your love. Sanctify us through your grace and your mercy today, that we would walk with you in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Bless now, we pray and ask, in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. Praise his wonderful name. Praise God. Praise his name. I'm going to just give you 30 seconds, friends, to just look to the Lord. Can you see him? Look to Jesus. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Before I hand over to Pastor Henry, would you just spend some time and say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Praise God. Praise his name. Praise God. Pastor Henry, would you take over from here as we go on? Praise his wonderful name.
Bless the Lord. We thank you, Pastor Fiani, for ministering to our hearts and to tell us about this name Jesus.
Yes.
Which is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the honor and glory of God the Father. This is the name that means so much to us. His name shall be called Jesus.
Yes.
For he shall save his people from their sin. The name Jesus.
Amen.
To those who choose to do wrong, the name is a stumbling block.
Yes.
But to those who choose to do right, the name is welcome, is a deliverance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's exalt that name. Let's worship that name.
Yes.
The name which was given to Jesus, that he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Let's meditate upon that name today. Let's meditate upon that name. The name is bigger, greater than any other name.
Yes.
Name the leaders of the world, past and present. There is none, no name that can be compared with the name of Jesus.
Yes.
No wonder the two of the disciples never to speak again in this name, never to teach again in this name. The name of Jesus is so sweet.
Yes.
Says the Son. Let's meditate upon this name because it means so much to us. As we continue to concentrate upon this name, we realize from the writing to the Corinthians and the writing to the Hebrews, we realize that this name means so much.
Yes.
Because the Apostle Paul tells us, as we turn our attention now to the communion table,
yes,
let us concentrate for a little while on the communion.
Yes.
So the Apostle Paul said, he has received something from the Lord that
Amen.
Needs to be conveyed to the church. And it is all about this same name. Let's read it.
Yes.
The injunction for the communion table is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read from verse 23 to the end. If you have your Bibles, please follow. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the same that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. We have just heard that. Well, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. Last verse. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Here in the reading of the injunction to the Lord's table. It is interesting to listen to Pastor Minister just now. Because here is the Apostle Paul giving the injunction to the Lord's table. And he was never around the till when Jesus broke bread with his disciples. He was never there. He has never walked publicly with the Lord while he was here. And yet, it is to him, after his conversion, it is to him that the Lord gave this instruction. And how important it is that he delivered to the churches and to us, the Apostolic Church in America, so that we use it as an example and as a blueprint as to how we conduct our communion service. And he said, I am not adding nothing to what the Lord said to me, neither am I taking away anything. In fact, his own word speaks to that end when we read verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Amen. Just like how we receive it from the Lord, he delivered to the churches. And he's actually saying to the churches, the Lord said, whenever time you have communion, whenever time you are doing a breaking of bread service, this is the approach that you need to have. Just like how you receive it, the instruction from the Lord, he gave it to the church, and this become the model for the breaking of bread service all over the world. Right across the globe, this has become the model as to how it is supposed to be done. And so there are a lot of interesting thoughts in here that we as believers need to follow so as to have a proper breaking of bread service where we know we are identifying ourselves with the Lord. And how fitting it is for us today to have breaking of bread after listening to a message like this. Because the apostle went to the brethren in Hebrews and told them about this man Jesus, and told them about endure the cross, despising the shame. And I've always said, Jesus looked on shame and said, you should be ashamed. In other words, when he said despising the shame, it means that he is looking on shame and said, you have no value. You have no shame. You have no value. You cannot stop me. He's looking on shame and said, look, I am going to the cross regardless of what they did to me. Yeah. So if you are trying to stop me, if you are trying to stop me, you have another guest coming. You have no value. You have no shame. This is what he's saying here. Despising the shame. He despises shame.
Yes.
You are not trying hard enough to stop me. Strip me naked. I am going to the cross to die for humanity. Box me as much as you can. I am going to the cross to die for humanity. Put names and bad labels on me. I am going to the cross to die. Shame, you have no shame. You have no value. That's what he said. It means by despising shame. In the second verse there in Hebrews chapter 12. You have no shame. You cannot stop me. I am going to die for my people. And as a result of him dying, that's why we're able to come together in this breaking up web service as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah! What a move! What an accomplishment! A sinless man died on a cruel cross to save me and to save you. So in this break, he said to the apostle, because of how solemn this moment really is.
Yes.
He said, let a man examine himself.
Yes.
Let a man examine himself. Pure holiness was found in Jesus. Righteousness. Holy, pure. The blood that dripped from his hands, feet and head, they were not contaminated by sin. Pure and holy. And as a result of that, he said, let each person who take communion examine themselves. That responsibility is given to you and me. Let us examine ourselves before we partake. And then, be hastened at the end to remind the brethren, that he don't want to condemn none of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He does not want to condemn none of us with the world. That's what he said towards the end of the reading. He does not want to condemn none of us with the world. Verse 32 says, but when ye are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What a precious thought!
Praise his name.
Hallelujah! He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be real with him. He went to the cross despising the shame. What a fitting message to the communion. I'm saying to the brethren today, the name of Jesus means so much to us. Let us apply ourselves as we were taken. I'm going to ask Pastor if you would just pray over the emblems before we partake of them, giving God thanks, not only for the preparation of it, but for the effect of these emblems. Thank you, Pastor.